welcome to another episode of Technogram by Reddington, Reddington's podcast channel where we explore untold stories of leadership and transformation and what it truly takes to thrive in today's dynamic tech landscape. I'm your host, Janice, and today's guest is someone who brings a unique blend of technical depth and business strategy. From hybrid cloud to AI at the edge, he brings a sharp lens on how technology is transforming business. He has helped organizations navigate complexity, drive innovation, and stay ahead of the curve. On today's episode, we'll explore how his wealth of experience can empower channel partners to elevate their sales game with sharper strategies, deeper customer engagement, and a stronger focus on outcomes. Please welcome Zavin Jordan, who's a senior leader at HPE. Thank you, Zavin, for joining us on Technogram.
Thanks for having me.
I'd like you to tell us a little bit about yourself. Who are you?
Great. Thank you. Thanks for having me. So, Zavin Jordan, from Australia, from Sydney.
Wonderful.
Yeah. Beautiful part of the world.
Yes.
I'm Armenian heritage.
Okay.
Been in the IT industry for some nearly 28 years.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's
You don't look that old.
Yeah, thanks. It takes its toll, though. I never thought I'd get into IT, though, right? So I used to love my sport, played a lot of cricket, great cricket back in Sydney, played rugby union, soccer, all of these kind of things. So suddenly to get into IT was very different.
Interesting. So can you take us back to your first day or first few days in the world of tech?
Yeah, right. So I want to take you back a little bit further. You see, in 1997, my family and myself, we went traveling around Europe 7 months. Came back to Sydney. I didn't exactly know what to do. I was working in a warehouse and I was looking through the newspaper for jobs.
Okay.
Didn't quite know what to do. I saw a sales role come up for an internet company called OneNet.
Okay.
I didn't know what the internet was at the time, but I thought, I'm just going to go and apply for this. And so I did. And that was an interesting process because I didn't have a computer. I didn't have a resume. I went to my grandmother's place who had an old IBM-compatible computer with, the green screens?
Yeah,
the big, heavy CRT green screens, right? This thing was weighed so much, it could have, crushed the table.
Right.
Anyway, so we went, put my name in the CV, did all that sort of stuff, went to the post office, sent it. A week later, I got a response for a group interview. The group interview was in the city. I was over the moon, but I didn't have a suit.
Okay. So how old were you back then?
I was 18.
18. Yeah. Okay.
So it was a long time ago.
Yeah.
Very young. And so I asked my dad. I said, listen, Dad, you work in the city. You're always wearing a suit. Can I borrow one of your suits? But the problem was my dad was twice my size.
Right.
So I wore his big baggy green suit
for
my first interview. And the interview was kind of funny because I remember my first boss's name. His name was Angus. I remember in the group interview, it was about 10 of us sitting around the table. And the interviewer was asking all of these technical related questions. I had no idea what he was talking about. Everyone else was answering the questions, no problem.
Okay.
He came to me and the question was, so tell me, what do you guys like to do on the weekend?
Okay.
And I went, I can answer this. And everyone was saying, oh, I love MIRC. I love this chat program. I like doing programming. And I was like, I didn't understand it. It was a different world.
Mm-hmm.
When he got to me, I just said, look, it's really easy. I go out with my mates on the weekend, have a beer and enjoy myself. Life's about enjoyment, right?
Right.
The person next to me said, oh, you can't say that. I said, why? This is who I am. This is what I do. Luckily, the interviewer really took to that.
Appreciated that honesty.
And called me up a couple of days later on the home phone. There was no mobiles back then. Well, not for me at least. And said, Zavin, you've got the job. And I said, Angus, this is amazing. Thanks so much for the opportunity. I said, I still don't know what you guys do.
Right.
He said, that's okay. Don't worry. We'll train you.
Mm-hmm.
So I went in to the office. First day, of course, HR introductions and all that sort of stuff. So that was fine. The second day, however, there was a long-haired person, a long-haired red-haired guy, right? He was sitting down on this computer and he's typing away like crazy. His head's bopping up and down. The guy from The Muppets. The
Animal Lizard.
Yeah, you know it.
Yes.
Yeah. So, kind of like Animal. And I said, oh, mate, I got excited. I said, what are you doing?
I'm totally picturing Animal.
Yeah. You should. Yeah. It's exactly like this. And I said, what are you doing? He said, oh, I'm sending an email. I was just beating away. I said, what's that? And he tried to explain what an email was to me by explaining how the postman will come around and deliver it, right?
A letter, how they would do that.
How they deliver it. Yeah. I said, well, how are they going to know what computer I'm sitting in? So I had no real concept of how the internet was, what it was all about, etc. So that was okay. I said, how do I get this? And he said, oh, you just go in and type in, Hotmail. Go and get a personal Hotmail account. I said, I don't know what this is anyway. So he showed me how to do it. And I typed in www.hotmail.com. I hit the button. I walked away because even though we were an internet service provider back then, I believe there was one underground cable across to the US, so the internet was super duper slow. So I went to got a cup of coffee. I came back. There was a whole bunch of people standing around my computer saying,
okay.
You know, like they're laughing. I'm like, what's going on? It was an honest and very innocent mistake. I didn't type in Hotmail.
Oh, no.
I typed in M-A-L-E, and needless to say, it wasn't the Hotmail email website.
Oh, my God. Right. I can't believe it.
Yeah. So this was a pivotal moment on my career moving forward because...
Why do you say that? Yeah.
Well, because I didn't want to be embarrassed. I wanted to understand everything that I was needing to sell to customers. I wanted to understand what it was. I wanted to understand what IT was, what the internet was. I wanted to understand everything about it. I went out the next day. I bought a HP computer, one of those big desktop computers, and I took it home. The first thing I did was rip it apart.
Do I understand how it
works? I wanted to understand everything inside. And I did that over and over and over again until I understood absolutely everything inside that computer. I then started doing the software stuff. I started reading books about IT. I started reading books about, software, you name it, every single aspect I was doing. And then I started hanging out with all of the technical people as well.
And that's amazing because this is not the reaction that most people would have to an embarrassing situation like that,
Yeah, some people would just turn around and walk away from it. Yeah, it had a profound impact on me.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. And so you said that technology wasn't something that you really thought about and entered, right?
Yeah.
So was there like an early moment in your career where you said, okay, this could work, this is where I belong, anything of that sort?
100%. So sales is all about people.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I was always about people. You could see it in my answers in my first interview.
Mm-hmm.
It was all about what you're doing on the weekend to socialize, how you interact with people.
Right.
So for me, yeah, sales is a people trait. And it's something that I thought that I was good at. Now,
mm-hmm.
being good with people doesn't mean that you can sell to people. So there was also things that you needed to learn along the way. But I absolutely thought that this was an industry that I could be part of because it was growing.
Okay.
Right? Significant. Yeah. It was at its infancy when I jumped in.
Mm-hmm. All right. And at the moment, I think you used to be the global partner account for EN and HPE.
I was the global account manager for EN.
And now you're
just recently. Now I've just taken on a new role as business development head for the telecoms infrastructure business unit at HPE.
Okay. In your years of experience, like I think more than 20 years, you would have been leading teams and driving innovation, I think across continents. You've worked across many different regions.
Yeah.
So are you able to give me like an example or a moment where perhaps it's like a setback or a challenge or a defining moment which kind of transformed your leadership journey?
Yeah, so you're right. So I've worked in Australia. I ended up moving across with the organization I was at. It was a very large telco. They actually acquired an organization that I was in. It was a systems integrator, and it was the telco's opportunity to move into the techco space. You've probably heard a lot about telcos moving from telco core into techcos,
yeah.
Right? So they can increase that stickiness with their customer.
Right.
Right. So that's what we did. And they acquired our organization. They moved me across into the UK in a business development capacity, and also to help bring on a new consulting firm that we had just acquired over there to also move that part of the business into a tech co. And then, of course, over here. But when you talk about things that shape sales and leadership moving forward, I can't help but bring back to the very beginning, because there's pivotal moments and that occur, and one of them in particular and is not just the moment, but let's look at it from a context, from a contextual perspective. Sales is very different now to what it was, right? Like, I remember, and it's so character building. It was really character building, all the setbacks and knockbacks that you get. But back then, and do you remember the Yellow Pages?
Yes,
yeah?
I do.
Yeah, okay. So I used to open up the Yellow Pages and go through line by line and see who the big spenders were for the advertising, who I could call up, who I could try to get meetings with. When that didn't work...
This must be sounding so foreign to the new
it's totally foreign. No one nowadays would do anything like this, right?
Of course
right?
not, yeah.
And they don't need to, thankfully. Well, maybe not so thankful, actually. I'll tell you why. But
okay.
What happens is, when the Yellow Pages stuff didn't work and the cold calling didn't work, I used to drive out to the business park or go to one of these big buildings, and then I'll go down to the building and I'll have a look, and you'll see all of the names of the organizations that were in that building.
Right.
So then I'd write them down. I'd say, okay, no problem. Let's go to the next level and see who I can go and talk to. Right. And when you go into that office, you notice on the side, there's a sign on the door, and it says, no walkers, no canvases.
Right.
No canvassing at all, right? So you walk in, the reception normally turns around and says, don't you see the sign out the front?
Right.
So I learned to counteract that. Whatever I do, as I was walking in, I turned the sign around, right?
Right.
Oh, okay, but the receptionist didn't particularly like that, so then I adapted again. So I kept on getting all these knockbacks in the first few months.
Mm-hmm.
What do I need to do different? Do I change my pitch? Do I charm the reception a little bit better?
Yeah.
Or do I just go there when the reception's not there? And it was an interesting turn of events, because people in the back office were more receptive to talking to people, because they didn't have to face people all the time. They were just in the back office.
Mm-hmm.
And the receptionist needs to eat.
Okay.
So they'd leave for lunch.
Yeah.
I'd go at lunchtime.
Yeah.
And then someone from the back office would go, hi, how are you? Can I help you? Yes, I'm here. I'm from XYZ organization. This is what I'm wanting to do.
That was quite smart of you,
yeah. Yeah, I mean, you learn to adapt. Yes. And this is a key trait that I learned while on the job, right? And the adaption moves more into, your sales process, and then also into your leadership. How do you adapt to situations? How do you adapt to the different people within your organization, within your org chart?
Right. Thinking on your feet is also...
Thinking on your feet. Really assessing your surroundings.
Mm.
You know, what do I want to get to here, but how do I go to here when there's a wall?
Right.
Now, you can do what lots of people do, is keep on hitting the same wall, or you can try to remove the wall.
Yeah.
Yeah? I prefer to remove the wall. Right.
Yeah. So things differently. Instead
do things differently.
Yeah, if it's not working.
Yeah.
Okay. Can you take me back to your first pitch? I mean, first pitches is something I think everybody would remember, even if it didn't go well. And you mentioned about Yellow Pages and everything. So
yeah.
What was your first pitch like? Who were you talking to? What were you selling?
I was talking to... So this was, a process of... I went to the building. Reception wasn't there. I went. I got a meeting. It just happened to be with the CFO, because at the time... telecommunications and IT was run by the CFO.
Right.
He didn't, or it was the local, IT computer shop around the corner.
Mm-hmm.
Right. There was no real major systems integration players or anything along those lines. And it took me about 2 weeks. Finally got in, met with the CFO, and it was an interesting learning experience. The pitch wasn't about the solution that I had to offer. It was about trying to identify what the business outcome would look like for them. What were some of the business challenges that they had that I could try to slot myself into and talk about?
Was this something that you were thinking of, or was that something that your company that you're working for had asked you to do?
No, absolutely no. There's something that you think about as a salesperson. So, you know, I was a young guy. I'm talking to some, 50, 60-year-old guy. I'm nearly 50 now, but, you're talking to some older guy who's looking at this young guy.
Yeah.
Going, what's he going to bring to me?
Right.
Well, I mean, after a few different attempts with other businesses, failed attempts, you kind of go, well, I need to change my approach. What's my approach with this, my first proper pitch?
Yeah.
Right? And it was really trying to understand what the gap in their business was and how I could potentially fulfill that. Now, that was a very proud moment for me, because you go from cold calling to getting in there to meeting with the CFO to going and selling an end-to-end deal to an international insurance
underwriter.
Underwriter. Thank you. Yes, that's what they were.
Okay.
Right? So, yeah, I was very, very proud of that. And, you know, there were some challenges along the way. And one of the big learnings that I got out of that was you can't just build a relationship with one person because they're the decision maker.
Right.
Right? And I was wondering why this deal was taking so long to close. And it closed even with the decision maker. But what I learned out of that was you need to also widen your scope in terms of who you're speaking to, because everyone within that business is impacted,
right,
by the solution that you're bringing to them and the business outcome that you're trying to fulfill.
Okay, so if there's a partner going to an end customer, they should not have a conversation with just one point of contact. They should look at all the departments.
100%, 100%. I mean, I can't stress that enough, mm-hmm. Right? You know, it's not just about the one person that you've got that relationship with.
Yeah.
You know, I talk to partners, I talk to salespeople all the time. It's like, yeah, I know that customer. I know that customer. What do you know? What do you really know?
Right.
Is it the one person? You've got a very good relationship, and they'll probably be the door opening for you to get in.
Mm-hmm.
But what about everyone else? That's in there. Who are you missing?
Right.
You know?
And you work really closely with Reddington
yes.
as our partner. And
yeah.
I'm sure that HPE and Reddington together do a lot.
Wonderful relationship.
And the communication that goes to the channel partners. So are these kind of things covered in the trainings?
Look, I think with the partners, it depends on the kind of partners. I mean, a lot of partners are services led. Some partners are product led. A lot of the partners nowadays, I'd probably say a little bit of a mix of both. However, in saying that, I think partners are doing themselves at times a little bit of a disservice to customers and to themselves, because they're trying to be generalists,
right.
Be everything to everyone.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You need to focus on your specialisms. Be honest, be open with the customer. If, you know, they're asking you to do X and you can do A,
yeah.
Don't say you can go and do X as well. Maybe you can
right.
to a certain area, but that's, you're limiting what you can actually do in terms of the depth of relationship that you can go with that customer, because they're not going to trust you down the track.
Okay.
Right? So when we talk to customers and partners in particular, and the partners that buy from Reddington,
yeah.
we want to make sure that they focus on their specialisms, their skill sets,
okay.
and take that.
So are these some of the common pitfalls or gaps that you see with the partner ecosystem?
Absolutely. I think it's, you know, there's a few. It's focus on your specialisms. Don't be everything to your customers, right? Focus on technological changes that are occurring, right? Be mindful of that. You know, a lot of organizations are going from hero to zero.
Yeah.
Right? They're not moving with the times,
mm-hmm.
right? There's also, you know, the authenticity as well, right? You want to be able to continually build your relationship and your rapport with your customers,
yeah.
right? You need to be open. Tell them what you can and what you can't do. Give them the insight into what it is that you can't do or where you've done it before and it's gone wrong. Right? It's a breath of fresh air to customers when you, as a sales rep, and you're taking your technical person typically with you to these meetings.
Yeah.
And you're pitching and you say, actually, you know what, Mr. Customer? We know that you're trying to get here. We've done this before. In fact, we failed 2 or 3 times at doing this. This is a good thing, right? Yeah. Don't shy away from this because customers will appreciate your honesty.
Yeah.
Really, how did you fail, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then you can tell them about how you've learned and mitigated these problems so you don't fail.
Right, how it can be approached in a different way, perhaps.
Thank you, yes.
Okay.
How you mitigate the risks. Mm-hmm. Customers are always wondering when it comes to digital transformation projects,
yeah,
how are you going to mitigate my risk in this project?
Yeah. So when it comes to technology, how can partners convert a one-time buyer into a lifelong customer?
Oh, trust.
Trust.
Yeah, absolutely. Depth of that trust. I've got a theory on trust.
Okay.
Okay, I've tried to live by this personally and professionally for many, many, many years. I read a snippet in a book once.
Okay.
Right? I've tried to claim it as mine, but it comes from somewhere else. It's an equation. So let's think about this equation.
Okay.
What does trust mean? For me, when I look at this equation, it's your words. How true are your words that you speak? Right? How true are your actions? Right? How true is your intimacy? When I say intimacy, I'm talking about how your connection with your customer, your depth of connection, right? And then what is your level of self-orientation?
Okay.
What is your motivation behind all of these words, the actions?
Your intent.
What is your intent?
Yes.
If your intent is selfish,
mm-hmm.
then forget about it. If you are more focused on customer outcomes,
mm-hmm.
business outcomes,
yeah.
and you're doing it for them, not for yourself, trust level goes up significantly. And people see this. And you can think about it from your own personal relationships.
Right.
As I mentioned before, words plus actions,
yeah.
plus intimacy, divide that by your motivation. So, out of 10, think about someone.
Yeah.
Yeah? Okay. The words that person speaks,
mm-hmm.
out of 10, yeah? Plus the actions that they show you, out of 10, 10 being good, right? Plus their connection, their depth of connection with you, out of 10,
okay.
right? Let's just say that person's 30 out of 30.
Yeah.
Yeah? You divide that by their motivation for doing it, right?
Okay.
Now, if their motivation, now reverse it, where one is really good and 10 is really bad.
Yeah.
Okay. And if their motivation, you see through them, and their motivation is more selfish,
right,
more self-indulged,
mm-hmm.
you might score them a 5.
Right.
Mediocre. They're kind of for you, but then they're more about themselves.
Yeah.
So that 5, so 30 divided by 5 is 6.
Right.
6 out of 10 is your score in terms of your trust calculation.
That's super interesting.
It is.
It's so practical as well. Something we can.
Yeah. You can apply it in your personal relationships.
Okay.
You can apply it in your work relationships.
Okay.
It's really, really interesting. And have you ever done a 360 degree review?
No. What's that?
Super interesting. And you can apply the trust aspect on this.
Okay.
It's I was introduced to this when we got taken over by a big corporation in Australia. And one of the first things they did is they took the management aside and they said, we want you guys to go and do 360 or get a 360 degree review. Okay, what is this? What it is a whole series of questions, about 1 hour's worth of questions. And they give that to your colleagues, your peers,
okay.
people that report to you, your bosses, their bosses,
right.
your customers,
mm-hmm.
vendors that you deal with,
okay.
distributors that you deal with,
mm-hmm.
right? You name it. Okay, and what's interesting is everyone has a different perception of who you are.
That's true. And you are different with everybody as well.
Yes,
with
and, your core is still the same.
Yeah.
But how you are picked up by the other person is is entirely different, right?
Right.
We've got two cameras in here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. They're two different angles.
Right.
It's the same thing.
Yeah.
You can see this part of me, but someone else is seeing that part of me.
Yeah.
Yeah. So when you take that into context of a person's personality and who they are as a person, it's very interesting.
Yeah.
Because then you start to go, well, actually, you get a bit disappointed, actually, because you go, hang on a second, but how does that person think like that of me?
Mm-hmm.
What can I do now to improve myself? What am I doing that's different over there? Is it maybe, am I reacting to that person because maybe I don't like them? Maybe I don't see them as someone that's adding value to my life, so I don't give them enough time of day?
Mm-hmm.
Right?
And when it comes to organizations, probably the structure, all of that also matters, because you're somebody who reports to me, or you're my manager. You're kind of, behavior
different. Yeah, and that, people who report to you also have an opinion of who you are.
Sure.
And and being a manager isn't about being liked.
Yeah.
It's more about understanding this concept of 360 is about understanding the end to end of what people's perception is of you, and just to be mindful of it, conscious.
Right. So when it comes to partners approaching customers, this is exactly what they have to keep in mind as well.
Absolutely. It's not just what's in front of them, it's the entire ecosystem around them.
Okay. Thank you, Zavin. I think this has been really interesting. And before we wrap up, I have a few rapid round questions. I'm sure you'll enjoy this. All right, you ready?
Okay.
Okay. One word that describes your leadership style.
It's not one word. Consultative. Okay, it is one word.
Okay, that's fine. A book or a podcast that's had a lasting impact on you. Feel free to say Technogram.
Yeah, okay, right, yes, 100%. I'm sure that'll be up high on the list. But I won't say that there's one particular book or podcast or anything along those lines that has had a major impact on me. I'd probably say a person, right, who ended up being my mentor when I was in Australia. Really great guy, really showed me, all different aspects. I used to go to him and ask questions and questions and questions, but what about this and what about that? And it's always good to have a mentor, and this was a great mentor. So this particular person is my main influence.
Great. Are you able to now carry that forward for somebody else, be a mentor to other people?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, 100%. And, I've been doing mentoring. There's mentoring programs at HPE that I'm currently part of.
Okay.
And it's more mentoring, not just colleagues, but also a lot of the youth that's coming through, the graduate programs and all of that sort of stuff, because people are going, well, maybe I want to get into sales.
Right.
Maybe I want to get into technical side. We don't really know how to navigate, right, the whole big corporate world, and it's a tough world.
Yeah, that's true. So what do you think is the, going back to my rapid round,
mm-hmm.
The most underrated skill in sales today?
Honesty.
Honesty?
Yeah.
Well, that's interesting.
Yeah, I mean, did I say that too fast? I think salespeople nowadays have got too much of a bad rap.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It's about, oh, they're like a used car salesperson. Not that there's anything wrong with a used car salesperson, but it's about honesty. It's about being true to yourself, right? Sounds corny,
mm-hmm.
but honestly, when you're talking to someone, it's about the rapport and the trust that you build.
Right.
You can't build that if you're not being authentic.
Yeah. So right? I was going to say, so honesty and authenticity, they go hand in hand, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Honesty and authenticity
mm-hmm.
Builds into trust.
Okay. Great. If not tech, what career would you have chosen?
Cricket.
Cricket. Okay.
Yep.
You used to play?
I used to love my cricket. I used to play great cricket.
Mm-hmm. I would have pegged you for a musician.
I play drums. I used to play drums. Now I just strum along on a guitar happily.
Okay.
Definitely cricket. Unfortunately, at the time,
mm-hmm.
there was just not enough money in it. Back in 1994, 95, 96.
Okay.
Right? It's not like you have the IPL now and, there's money being thrown out at left, right and centre.
Mm-hmm.
It was not like that back then. So I had to...
Let that go.
Path,
yeah. And now it's too late to go on that.
I've got too many injuries now.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you, Zavin. Thank you for joining us today and for really sharing some honest and helpful takeaways.
Wonderful.
I've enjoyed listening to your journey, and I'm sure all the listeners who are listening to this and watching our show today will be able to have a lot of things to really think about and perhaps even act on.
Thank you so much for having me. Really appreciate it.
And to our audience, thanks for tuning in to Technogram. Don't forget to follow, leave a review, and share this episode with someone who's passionate about tech, sales, and leadership. Until next time, keep exploring beyond what's possible.